This morning I've got Penny Stoddard, Jerry Clark, and Sandy Balick with me. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning,
Steve.
Penny, you're with the Family History Center. Tell me a little bit about the Family History Center.
I'm the director. I work with three other consultants to help residents in Haines to be able to locate their ancestors. And we're located at 417 Mud Bay Road.
That's right on the corner of Small Tracks and Mud Bay, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Right. And we're open on Monday and Wednesday from 9 to 1, and on Wednesday from 6:30 until 9. And what we do there is we help people with the information that they have. We help them to organize their family records and then to further that research.
And Sandy, what do you do there?
I'm a consultant there, and I do basically the same kinds of things and help people to learn more about their ancestors.
Very interesting and a lot of fun as well. Jerry, you're with the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center. Tell me a little bit about that.
I'm the director of the Sheldon Museum, and we're in our winter hours now, so we're open 1 to 4 Monday through Friday, and except for special events on the weekends or evenings.
Y'all are working together with this project this Monday, October 8th and Friday, October 12th. It's Discover Your Family History at 7 p.m. on Monday. And what time is it on Friday?
Noon.
At noon. This is at the museum. What's this all about?
This is an opportunity for us to show local residents what resources that we have available for them here. The presentation will help you to access where you are and see what resources are available to you at the Sheldon Museum and the Family History Center. Andrea Nelson called me a couple weeks ago to see if we'd be interested in forming a partnership with the museum. The museum gets quite a few inquiries about finding relatives that have been here in Haines, maybe lived here for brief periods of time.
Do they lose them here? Or?
They lose them. They just can't find them.
Actually, they are lost sometimes, mm-hmm. And they want us to find them.
They don't even know where they...
Right. My uncle came for the gold rush in 1898. Can you help me find him?
Then what happened?
Who knows?
Right. Well, it seems like a perfect partnership because you've got the Family History Center, and then, of course, you know, the museum is dealing with local history.
Yeah, it seems like a very logical match to us. Of course, Andrea was the one who came up with the idea, but we have an archive full of information. It's always been accessible, but we're doing more digitization and more indexing so that we can access the information more readily. And the Summers, man and woman here for a few months for working with the Family History Center, are here, and Sandy are pulling names from they're reading through documents and finding names so that we can index them in our database, and someone can come in and say, my uncle Henry came in 1898 in the gold rush or worked at Fort Seward, and we can go into our database, punch in his name, and hopefully come up with some information and help them add to their knowledge of their family.
We had an experience a month ago where a gentleman was on one of the cruise ships. And he came rushing into the Sheldon Museum and wanted help to find his father, who had lived in Haines for a short period of time. And Jerry thought that she may have some information in the archives that would help him, but because he was here for only a couple hours, he wasn't able to go through every item in the boxes.
Right.
And so that's why it's important to get this information on the computers and the computer base, and that's what the Family History Center is helping with. Also, with this particular gentleman, he gave some names and dates to one of our family history consultants, Sandy Balick, and she did some research on his family and found an aunt and two sets of grandparents and emailed that information to him. Also gave him information about how he could access more information at the Family History Center, which was only about 30 minutes from where he lived.
Because these are all over the country, aren't they?
They are. There's about 4,000 family history centers throughout the United States. But they're not in every city. Mm-hmm. And we are so fortunate here in Haines to have these resources available to us because we are a small community.
It's such a fine museum for such a small community as well.
Why, thank you.
I'm not pandering. I mean, it's true.
No, I agree. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful facility, and we're hoping to have more people in so they can see what we have and how they can use it.
Well, that Andrea Nelson is a genius. And
she is.
For putting the two great tastes that taste great together that were just a few blocks away from each other, really, but hadn't really matched up. And, of course, her genius is being taken to what, Egypt now?
Yes, yes. She's going to spend a couple of months in Egypt this winter. So. And we've now hired Karen Meisner, who from Sitka. She worked at the Sitka Historical Museum, actually ran it. And
she's another fine outfit there, too.
Right, right. And now she's our collections person. So someone coming in to do research would get in touch with Karen.
So Monday night, you've got, it's basically the same thing happening on Monday night and Friday at noon. They're just if you're a night person or you can make it during the day, that's the reason for the two different days. What's going to happen at the event? You'll walk in and what, you're going to sign me up and start putting my name in a computer, or what goes on?
Actually, we'll invite you to sit down and we'll show you a presentation on how to get started
and to be able to see what there actually is at the museum.
Right.
That you may be able to use and how to organize the information that you have and then help you to know what to do for the next step.
So this would obviously be very useful if you have some local ties here, if your family's been here a while. But even if not, it can help you find different things throughout the nation and the world. Is that right?
That's exactly.
Yeah. The museum is specifically the Chilkat Valley. Mm-hmm. We have very little material outside of that. But the Family History Center keys into other data banks where you can do research for pretty much
all over the world.
My family history has already been traced, and it's not a pretty story, so we won't talk about that. But let's say I'm curious about so-and-so, you know, this famous guy or this guy I'd heard about, or what's that road named after that's out there? And you know, can you also use it to kind of like maybe just, you know, do some research and find out about interesting people that have been around here? Or do you need to stick with your own family?
Well, at the museum, you don't have to stick with your own family. Anything you want to research about the Chilkat Valley. We had just recently I received an email with an article written about Paul Piedad. Mm-hmm. A woman came in, a Filipino woman, writing for a publication, I think California, I've forgotten specifically, but she came in and did research on Paul Piedad and wrote an article and sent it to us. Hmm. So you can, it's used by History Day students. Joan Snyder comes to visit us almost every week when she's preparing her history talk.
Right.
Anything you want to research about.
I'm not talking about using it to stalk people or anything like that.
Oh, no.
No, it gives you a sense of community, though, and the history of the area. I thought it was really interesting to find Sol Rapinski in a census here. What's fun about the Alaska census is you get to, they have a question, what was your vocation before you came to Alaska, and then what you're doing now that you're in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And also you get to learn where people came from. There's a lot of history here with the fort, and they've been finding a lot of interesting things on the records from the fort that we'll tell you more about on Monday.
That's also right. We can't let it all out of the bag now because you've got to come down Monday.
That's right. Yeah. And see the pictures, too.
It's fun, too, to read the journals, the letters from especially women that were here back at, you know, the late 1800s and what their life was like.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine. Are there any other collaborative events coming up?
Well, I might mention that the Friday thing is our like a brown bag lunch. It's not part of our usual series, but you're welcome to bring lunch and listen to the program. We do have something else coming up that Penny's proposed to us.
We're excited. We've contacted Becky Chenoweth of Juno. She is quite an expert in family history research. We have been able to schedule her for January 19th, and we'll be telling you more about that as time goes on. But whether you're just getting started with your family history or you've been working on it for a while and you've hit a wall, she's the person that can help you get past that point and go on. She's also has extensive experience with doing research with Ken Lee of Juno, and they've created a database of the members of the Tlingit Haida group. So if any of you have relatives that would be related, be part of that group, that would be a good resource. What's fun about her workshops is that she tailors them around what the interests of the group are. So if you have any specific areas that you would like help in researching, if you'd contact the Family History Center, give me some ideas of what you would like to have her speak on. I know one thing that she is quite expert at is looking at old photographs, say for example from the 1800s, Sometimes you can tell, you can date a photo just from the clothing that people are wearing or maybe the furnishings in a home. Mm-hmm. And she's quite expert at that and also at map reading and about local histories in different areas throughout the United States. So we're really looking forward to that. We wanted Sandy to come today because we're really excited. We're right now starting a project to index the Alaska Census, 1900 Census. And that's another way that you can learn more about Alaska and the history of the state. The people that came before you is by getting involved with the indexing project. I'll let Sandy tell you a little bit about what indexing is and her experience with that.
I started indexing about 4 months ago, I guess, and I have really enjoyed it. It's the 1900 census for the most part, but there's some 1850 censuses in there and Revolutionary War pension records that were very interesting to me. The reason we're doing this indexing is because there's such a call for more sources for finding our relatives in the past. And most of the databases that we have are subscription databases, and most people can't afford $300-$400 a year to do this.
Right.
So
me included.
Yeah, right. So we're working to finish the one for the Family Search itself, which is a free database. So the more we can get on that, the better it'll be for everyone. And I did enjoy working on the Alaska Census. The first 3 or 4 pages I got were the Eskimos. And they write different.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to really study them. And all that's required is that you try your best to get the right letters and names in there and the dates. And you don't have to worry about if you make a mistake because 2 other people are going to be looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take but 20 minutes to an hour, depending on how quickly you work, to finish a page. On Alaska, the pages are 25 names long. In the rest of the United States, they're 50. You can pull these up and transfer them from the written word to digital, and then they'll be entered into the databases. And we have people here in our community that are already involved in it, and they seem to love it, whether they're old or young or mothers or, you know, teenagers, they get a lot out of it. We have one young lady, Jamie Franks, who does indexing, and she said it's like a window into the past, a glimpse of what happened back then. You don't get the whole story, but you get a sense of how things worked then in families. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. You can almost put together a whole dynamic as you're working along with the families. Sometimes, you know, a woman will have 12 children and only 4 or 5 of them lived, but you know that that's a family who stuck together through the heartaches of life, and the husband may have been born in Germany and the wife may have been born in Norway and the children are all born in Iowa. So, mm-hmm. it tells a story of how they moved across the world and paints a little picture for us.
Sandy mentioned, too, that it's something that you can do if you're young or old, if you're a professional, or if you're an elderly person. It's great for people that are homebound. It really helps people with their arthritis to keep their fingers moving, especially in the winter. It keeps your brain alert.
That's important.
Great contribution.
Right, and you don't have to know how to keyboard to do it necessarily. You can do it the one finger at a time.
Hunt and peck.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that does just as well.
Well, I've heard it said before that you can't know who you are until you know where you've been. And of course, where you've been is where your family is and where you've come from. But I had mine traced in, you know, Oregon, Minnesota, and Tennessee. But then you start getting into relatives that fought on both sides of the Revolutionary War on one side of my family. I guess nowadays I've chosen sides. But back then it would have been a little bit more difficult perhaps if we'd
right.
all known each other.
Right. Well,
it's pretty fun to find records for those members of our family that have fought in wars. You'd be amazed what you can find online.
And again, I've had a thorough search on my father's side and my mother's side. They're still working on it, but they've, you know, gone pretty far back. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. So if anybody doesn't have this information about your family, I encourage you to go get it, because it still just boggles my mind. And I reread it. I have a book and I reread it, you know, all the time. It's like, I'm related to that person from there. When? What? It's just, can't get enough of it, really.
What's fun with the military records is that you can actually learn about your relative that served in, say, the World War II. You can see their height and weight, their stature, their build. You can see their signature.
Right.
There are also records online for other wars and conflicts, back to like the Civil War. They're even getting photos online now. So you come to the Family History Center, we can help you to locate those databases to find military records for your ancestors. And we're focusing on that for the month of November. So we'd be glad to help you to research those.
Veterans Day in November, of course. And again, it's amazing what you find if you just dig a little bit. You know, when I was a child doing a book report on the Titanic, I was perusing the manifest and the list of the crew members. In the back of this book, I found in a grade school library in Hillsboro, Oregon, and found out that one of the members of the crew was a Skerrit. And over the years, discovered that I am related to this guy that was manning a lifeboat on the Titanic. You find out stuff like that, and you then you're hooked.
Well, it gives you a sense of who you are, too, by learning more about your ancestors.
And it was also, it was real nice to find out that he was not actually driving the Titanic at the time.
That's a comfort.
He was just, he just worked there. He wasn't in charge of anything.
You wanted to clarify that.
I do want to clarify that he was an able-bodied seaman who survived, in fact, and as did the people.
And saved other people.
And on his boat. He was in charge of a boat, and they survived, Now, Jerry, do you have any upcoming, and I know you do, have any upcoming events at the Sheld Museum and Cultural Center?
We thought we'd close the museum for the winter.
because we've got so much other things going on.
we have some wonderful programs. Right now, of course, we have Alexandra Feit's installation exhibition right now through October 19th. And then through the winter, we have our usual education programs. Kathy Friedel has some things planned with the help of Karen Meisner, our collections and exhibits coordinator, exhibit and some programs for Alaska Day. Kathy's doing endangered species awareness workshops and activities for through the Eagle Festival. And of course, the Tlingit language class and the Children's Interactive Learning Center is coming back in January. I heard that was a very popular thing. Our film series this winter is treasured films from the Sheldon Museum collection. So we're going to dig through the archive and pull out some of our old films that haven't been shown for a while. The Brown Bag series will come back again this year. And then some of the other things, and of course the holiday trains and ornaments right after Thanksgiving through mid-December. And then some other things we have coming up that would be very interesting. There is an exhibit from the Alaska State Library called Schools in Rural Alaska. It's an exhibition of photographs from schools around Alaska, old photographs of school children and schools. And we will supplement that with some things from our own archive. So to highlight Haines and the Chilkat Valley. Beverly Shoup and Ian Seward will be our next exhibition in the six-week Spotlight series in the Hakkinen Gallery. Beverly Shoup is a painter, and Ian does three-dimensionals, I understand. One thing we're starting new this year is something I wanted to do. The Sheldon Museum has highlighted visual artists for many years since it began, and I wanted to reach out to some of the other artists, the performing artists, and so I've written letters to everyone whose name was given to me and encouraged them to spread the word that I would like to have, we're going to call it the Third Sunday recital, and I'll be inviting singers, instrumentalists, poets, people who are writing prose to come and perform for us. And they can perform 15 minutes to an hour, and we may have two or three performing on the same afternoon. And we'll begin that this month. Hmm. So if you're interested in that, please give me a call or email me at museumdirector@aptalaska.net. And then one thing that's farther in the future, but we're very excited about it, we were approached by the Alaska Humanities Forum about a Smithsonian exhibit that's traveling the country. They have a series called Museum on Main Street, and this is New Harmonies. And this is, it's not coming in until 2009, but we're starting now to talk about it. And it will be an exhibit of roots music. Mm. And being in my other life, the host of the Folk and Bluegrass Show, I'm very interested in this. And Nancy Nash is working with me. And I actually emailed Judy Erickson here at the station about that. We'll put some interesting programming together with an exhibit about roots music in America.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, all these things that are happening at the Family History Center and at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center, stay tuned to KHNS. We'll keep you up to date on these events as they are nearing and as they occur. Everybody in the room now, I guess this question would go to the entire panel. You guys looking for help or volunteers?
Absolutely. At the museum, besides taking care of the reception desk in the store where you have a lot of interaction with guests and occasional interesting projects, we're really speeding up our indexing of the archive, and we could use people to come in and read through documents and type in names and help us get things organized.
Yes, at the Family History Center, if you would like to come volunteer a couple hours, it's a great time to do your own family research while you're there to help others also, and we can also train you in doing that. Also, if you're interested in doing the indexing that Sandy was talking about, there'll be an article in the newspaper with the web address for you to download the software to begin doing that.
Hmm. If people are interested in getting involved or just have questions in general about either the Family History Center or the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center, can they give you a call?
Sure can.
Yes.
The Family History Center, you can contact us at 766-2379.
And the museum is 766-2366.
That's a lot of stuff. Anything else you want to add? Either one of you? Any of you? Anything to add? Well, I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Penny, Jerry, and Sandy, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for inviting us.